seated. Two men I know are training for marathons. One is training for the BMW Dallas Marathon, second weekend in December. And the other is preparing for the Novant Health Care Marathon, Novant, the hospital formerly known as Presbyterian in Charlotte, and that will take place on November 15th in Charlotte. And they're training. They are up early each day, each Saturday, adding miles to their runs. They'll go on and on. Sometimes some will go in their training to mile 18, 19, and 20, depending on the marathon, depending on the training. I know of one man who trained, ran all 26 before the race, just so he would know I could do it. You know, and the idea that here I run the marathon, it's just 2.2 at the end to add on, but no, can do it. Each person has his or her own perspective. The goal, of course, is endurance. The marathon is not a sprint. You need the right pace. You need the right mindset. Game face. It takes patience. The really quick ones run them in 3 hours. 4 and 5 hours are more typical. Some go as long as 6. 1 mile, one step at a time. It is not a sprint. That's why the life of faith has been compared to that of a marathon, as opposed to the quick, short sprint. One step at a time, one end goal. Some marathons are fairly flat. The Blue Angel Marathon took place in Pensacola. It is flat down there in Florida. There's one bridge to go over. It's not that high. Other than that, pretty much running on a flat course. Birmingham, Alabama has one, and it has hills. You may not realize it, but that is really at the tail end of the Appalachian Mountains. And you might think of Alabama being kind of flat. That's down by the South Alabama, yes. But Birmingham is quite hilly. It might surprise what you would expect there. The Marine Corps Marathon run through Arlington and Washington, D.C. It's kind of a mix, not really too many big hills. Capitol Hill is much more of a hill than you think it is, if you walked it or seen it. If you're running it and coming around, there on one side, the Lincoln Memorial is about mile 12 or 13, and about mile 18 is on the other side. And then you get around to Jefferson Memorial is about mile 20. There is one big one at the end, but at the top you see the Iwo Jima Monument. And of course, that's going to inspire just about anybody, like, I can do it. Yes, I can do it. Much of life is like a marathon. The writer of the Hebrews encourages the people to stay faithful. Now, there's a question as to who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. Even in around the 300s AD, one of the great saints said, only the Lord knows who wrote the book. So, it had been forgotten. The author had been forgotten, I'll say providentially, very early in the church history. But the people, these are Hebrew believers, and they're facing some kind of local persecution. And it's challenging to just give up. Let's go back to basically just being Hebrew believers. The race is too hard, too much to do. And the author is encouraging them about the sufficiency of Jesus Christ and using the analogy of a race. And before this, we have Hebrews 11, known as, because we're just verses for Hebrews 12, which is called the Great Hall of Faith. As example after example of given of people who survived, who did well, hence the reference to Daniel, the book of Daniel. These are Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who had gone to the fiery furnace. That's the reference in Daniel. But many are references that also say, and some were martyred, but they still ran the race. And there are people who are encouraged here in Hebrews on two things: to look to Jesus as the author or pioneer or trailblazer of the faith and our perfecter. Now, here it's rendered different ways. Sometimes author, sometimes pioneer, yet sometimes trailblazer. And it means the word only in this part of Hebrews. It's the only time the word ever occurs in the New Testament. And it's a kind of like a chief leader, an originator. And it's trailblazing pioneer. When we talk about the pioneers, there are really two types. One was the trailblazer, the explorer. Who basically, there's no trail, now there is. I've been here. And then there are the kind of pioneers who are still very early in the journey, but they followed those trails that had been blazed and settled the area. Well, nuanced difference between the two. Here it's clearly saying Jesus is the one who went before anybody else. He is that kind of pioneer. And as that pioneer, think of also coming to a site, and maybe even think of laying a building and laying the foundation, the cornerstone that would set the direction. The one who goes in front, think of the grandfather who comes to the country with nothing, works two jobs, buys a house, builds a foundation for the family. So we see Jesus as the pioneer of our faith. He went before us. You don't have to blaze a trail. He's already gone. And then Jesus as the perfecter, the one who brings it all to completion. It means, one who brings something to its intended goal, its intended end run. Think of the master craftsman who checks the last details, sands the edges, making everything sure everything is there. That one making sure that everything is just right. Pondering this, even kind of humorous image came to mind some years ago. It was on PBS, a documentary, A Year in the Life of the Queen of England. It's Queen Elizabeth. And it showed one of those great dinner parties, state dinner parties, that are hosted where the prime minister is there and a leader of another country is there. And there's a whole mess of folks setting that one up. Everything. I mean, where they use the ruler to measure where the silver is placed. But still, the queen as hostess, and like any hostess, walks in. She's got to check it over because it's my name goes on it. No matter how many people did it, it's my name. And watching and making sure it was perfect and all set in order. And if it needs to be moved, it will be moved. And for this, it was the joy set before him that he endured this for us, the crucifixion. It was not the present joy of a crucifixion. It was the joy set before him. What would be beyond that? Crucifixion was very painful and humiliating. He endured it for us, separated from the Godhead. The sins of the world were on him at that time. My sins, your sins. And all that for the joy. There's an old joke that goes that only a woman in labor can understand what a man goes through when he has a cold. I'm never one to complain, so that never really struck me, but I just heard that shared. I have witnessed labor, okay? And I'm glad I was the witness and not the experiencer. Very painful. My mother, in her day, they basically had the women half drunk, put the gas mask over them, and so she said, that with you, Jones, I don't remember any pain. I remember even fighting it, thinking, oh, I need to do this natural. Nope, put it over her. But with my sister, and then when she was induced, and she said, well, I do not remember any pain. I remember once they gave me that shot, put that mask on my face, I was breathing deep. I want to go to La La Land. or semi-la-la land for this. It is painful, and yet, for the joy set before them, a mother will go through it. Jesus is the one who went through it for us. Jesus is the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. Every saint referenced in Hebrews 11, every saint that you see on the cover of this bulletin, every saint of this church has run the race to the finish line and is there now to cheer us. As you'll see on the cover, this is the poster that I've got. It's in my office. You might see I'm the one that's taking the picture. It's in the opposite home. You won't find it there. But there's actually a dome in this chapel at Beeson School of Divinity. You look up, there's Jesus, and then this group. Well, each is a panel, and so they put them in order for the poster, and then I did some close-ups. And these are different people of the faith. There was St. Augustine, who at one point, you would have thought that boy's going to wind up drunk and dead in a ditch. But he had his mother, Santa Monica, that's her. Okay, and that's why she got to see her in the background. She prayed for him. And of course, he came around and ended up being one of the great fathers of the church. You've got those who served great revivals and around the world. Lottie Moon, those of you of the Baptist background, remember her and the offering. I've been to her grave in Virginia, by the way, but she is up there too. That reminder of those who have gone before. And they are there now cheering for us as we run our race. So what can we take from this? First and foremost, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Faith requires focus. Life throws many distractions. Bills, job stress, family challenges. Reminder here to keep looking to our Lord. Looking at the notes, the research, and saying, yeah, keeping your eyes focused on Jesus, immediately I thought of Interstate 635 and Interstate 30. Watching what is in front of me. LBJ's gotten a little easier, I think, in the last couple of years or so. But still, there I am driving. In fact, we were at a meeting and Eric said, I saw you driving, but you're just looking straight ahead, Jones. And I want lots of space between me and the car in front, okay? And some crazy stuff happens. But anyway, I think of that. As a runner, if you keep looking over your shoulder, you're going to trip. Yesterday, moving furniture out. It's like even if you're going backwards, but keeping your eye focused here, there. Where am I going? What am I doing? And everybody successfully moved the furniture. So look to Jesus to get perspective and then run your race with endurance. We all have our races. Some have, for whatever reason, a lot more hills than others. At least it seems that way. And maybe you're running a hill that nobody knows about. We can cheer on the other while we run it, encouraging one another. You can do it. Oprah Winfrey shares a funny story when she later did run a full marathon, but training, she ran a half. And the National Enquirer had reporters with her. I get a story, she says, the only time I ever gave an interview to something like the National Enquirer, but they were there checking me, saying, yep, we're at this point, Oprah, we're at this point. Thanks. What's next? What do you see next? And so had that conversation. Got some lemons here. I'm going to make some lemonade out of it. I now have my own team for encouragement. We can encourage one another to stay faithful, to train in the dark, even at times, where only it's you and the Lord, you feel like it's keeping you going. We can cheer on one another. And third, we can trust Jesus to finish what he has started as that pioneer, as that perfecter of our faith. He's the carpenter who does not walk off the job before the last board is nailed. The mechanic who does not leave the car until the engine runs just right. Jesus does not quit on people halfway. Jesus keeps sanding, strengthening, shaping. And we can rest in that. We are not running alone. We are not building life on our own strength. The same Jesus who started the race will bring you to the finish line. The day we honor those who've gone before, those of the Reformation and those of our community. As we run this race with endurance, remember, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep our eyes as a church focused on Christ. Trust the Holy Spirit to work in our life. He who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Christ. And trust that Jesus will finish the job. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.